Good morning, everybody. Are you excited? Wow. He was giving those announcements and talking about touching nations, and I don't know if we're a nation. I do think we're the nation of Texas. I want to give God praise that. But you have been a vital part. As a matter of fact, I know Pastor walks, and people that know him know this very dear. He walks in humility, and sometimes in the pulpit, he can come across so strong. And yet the humility and brokenness he walks in is an example to us. But I don't know if he's told you this, but the Harbor family basically have been the anchor for launching Oasis Church. And in the last, let me tell you a few little things. In the last, I was trying to get some stats from the people that do the work at home this morning. Because at 9 o'clock when I was supposed to walk out here, I had a new family call me and say, are we not having church today? And I freaked out. Because our whole back parking lot was flooded, and it's still raining there, and we have parking teams all around in other areas, and I just said, just look for somebody somewhere covered up in a parka. They're us. Just find them somewhere. So they did. They found them. They got them in, and of course, that's the wonderful things of planning a new church. And in the last, this will be the seventh Sunday, and in the last 6 weeks, we've had over 500 people, unique people, come through the doors. We have a core group now of over 300. And hey, is that incredible? And we have had so many fresh starts. Every service, people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're getting ready for we bought a horse trough, and we're going to have our first baptismal service in the old-fashioned metal. So Mr. Wants Everything Nice, Alex, is trying to say, Dad, what color of black paint, what type texture should we spray on the horse? I said, it's still a horse trough. It doesn't matter what we do with it, how we make it cool. He said, well, we could put like colored lights. We could paint it. We can put colored lights in the water, and we can make it real cool. I'm like, oh, just give me a break. Just baptize somebody. But I just want to tell you that we are just so, so grateful, and I don't want to start crying and just all that kind of stuff, but we are so grateful for what God has done and what he's doing through you. You guys have been absolutely incredible. Your pastor, the families, many of you, we have partners. Last year, Pastor actually opened up the church and said, listen, it's not just through the church, but if you want to partner with the Subers, the last 2 years, actually, he's opened it up to where people here, he trusted you, trusted us to partner together, and now we're looking at what God's doing. It's absolutely incredible. Look at somebody and say, do you know what time of year it is? It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time of the year. So for everybody that doesn't have credit cards, that's wonderful. But for those of you that somebody else carries your credit card, how do kids get your credit cards when you told them they couldn't have it? How does it wind up in their purse, their billfold, whatever? I don't know. But this time of year, I get excited thinking about Christmas. And I found this out, and some of you guys might like this. If the three wise men had been three wise women, they would have asked for directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, and made a casserole. My kudos just went up. I'm going to get some hugs after church. That's going to be wonderful. If you have your Bibles today, we're getting into this, His Kingdom Come. And I just want to tell you that His Kingdom is coming every day. When you awaken in the morning, the kingdom is awakening. And I know a lot of people, and I don't want to mess up terminology or theology or philosophy, because there's so many church terms. And sometimes I've been in church so long. February, I will have been preaching 35 years. And I know I only look 36. And so I've been, thank you for the compliment. But I've been preaching 35 years. And you have all these church terms. And the big term, one of the big terms right now is activation. Have you heard that term? Activation. And I love it. I preach it. I think it's great. And next levels, new devils. I love all that activation stuff. But honestly, when my eyes open in the morning, the kingdom just activated. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When I wake in the morning, the kingdom just activated in that hotel room. When I awake in the morning in Round Rock, when Stephanie and I get out of bed, we're the devil's worst nightmare. We're light in the darkness, and we've come to take back what the enemy has stolen from us. Does anybody believe that? So quit waiting for an awakening and just wake up. I might have to run the aisles by myself. That's all right. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And I know many of you have sang it. You've read it entering into the season. But here's what Isaiah said. 700 years. Jason, I won't, his little 3 minutes could have been a conference message. And I'm going to steal it probably and take it to Oasis. But I think people skim so much over the Christmas story that you don't realize this prophecy was 700 years before it happened. Whatever God has promised you that seems impossible, you might even prophesy things that you die and they don't happen in your lifetime. But his word cannot return void. That means his word cannot come back empty. So why are you judging your circumstances based on the prophetic word that God has allowed come out of your mouth? If it was of God, it shall come to pass. For unto us a child is born. Verse 6 of Isaiah 9. Or as I learned in a seminary class this week, I've been doing some stuff trying to, I don't know, it's confusing me, but Isaiah. N.T. Wright says Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, say government, will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful. Just say that with me. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. His kingdom will never end. His government will never end. The kingdom is all right, but kingdom without government is chaos. And I think a lot of us want to preach kingdom, but we don't want to preach submission to the Holy Spirit and understanding the government of God. I want the kingdom of God, but I also want the government of God where we're actually doing what we're talking about. Oh, hallelujah. The government, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it, establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, with zeal of the Lord of hosts. He will perform this. Ask somebody, say, what is the kingdom? Because we're talking about the kingdom. His kingdom come. I'll take about 3 minutes and explain it. What is the kingdom? The kingdom of God is the invisible divine government that is established on earth when the will of its king has been carried out completely. It is divine administration of the King of Heaven influencing the earth realm, replacing its mundane operating system and order. The kingdom of God is the lordship and dominion on earth of King Jesus manifested in the visible form of his sons. God manifests his kingdom through the visible forms of his sons. If you want to see the sons of God, look around this room. We are the remnants of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom, and we talk about Christmas, but the gospel of the kingdom is the entire story of Jesus. Everything you read about Jesus is heaven coming to earth. The Messiah, the King of Israel, the express image of the invisible God has come. Say, he has come. He fulfilled God's promises then that through Israel all nations would be blessed. He has died for our sins that we might be forgiven. He has risen so that death might be defeated. Take about 2 minutes. I'm going to read through this. I'm going to get to preaching because people say, you just read. No, I want to read it because it's good. He has given us direct access to the kingdom of God, the rule of God in our lives through his Holy Spirit, and he has taught us how to live by his example. He has commanded us to obey. He has invited us to join him in proclaiming and establishing his kingdom in all the world. Listen, he announced our forgiveness. Say, Jesus. He announced our forgiveness. He demonstrated God's love. He upheld the justice of God, and he invited others to join his kingdom so that we can do the very same thing. Jesus was not only a forerunner, he was an example. That how he lived and how he walked is how we're to live and how we're to walk. Does anybody believe that? The gospel is not just one part of the story of Jesus. It's the whole story of Jesus. The gospel are good news. You can write this down. The gospel are the good news of the kingdom was the story that the king had come and that the kingdom was now open and available for everybody. That's the whole Christmas story. You want to talk about where we're going? His kingdom come. The king has come. Many of us in English, we don't understand that every time that Messiah is mentioned in Hebrew, it is Christos or Christ in the Greek. So when we talk about Christ, 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 you understand that every time in the New Testament we say Christ the Lord, we are saying that Jesus Christ was the prophesied Messiah of Israel. But there was a 700-year delay. Whatever delayed prophetic promises over your life, don't give up hope. Don't give up promise. I think that's my life message is don't give up. If God said it, it shall come to pass. It may not. The old timers used to say, it may not come when you want to, but he'll always be on time. He's an on time God. You remember that? I don't have the old timers here. I don't have Marvin tried to stir you up a while ago. I started singing, ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserved. That's why. Some of you remember, don't you? Three of you. Three people just almost got excited. Honestly, the Christmas story is about what I love to call the Emmanuel factor. It's simply about the Emmanuel factor. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated is God with us. The Emmanuel factor is the presence of Jesus, heaven invading earth. Hallelujah. The Emmanuel factor is the presence of Jesus. That's why I get concerned when kingdom people are always praying for heaven to invade earth. It did 2,000 years ago. And empowered us. We are no longer invasion forces. We are occupational forces. You didn't get it. You missed it. We are no longer invading. We are occupying until he comes back. So he has given us authority. We're not hiding in foxholes, but we have taken over. We have power to heal and to cast out devils and to raise the dead. Punch somebody and say, he's talking to you. It's the Emmanuel factor that the power of the kingdom is on the earth to be. The presence of Jesus is God's power in the new kingdom. Say that. The presence of Jesus is God's power in the kingdom. So instead of praying for more power, pray for more presence. No, can I say that again? Instead of praying for power, pray for the expressed image of Jesus to be formed in your life, where when hell looks at you, they see Jesus and begin to flee from you. Although it sounds cliche, we must never be so consumed with the presence of the season that we no longer crave the presence of the season. Oh, that was good. I wrote that on the plane. That was good. I know it sounds cliche that we shouldn't get so caught up in the presence, okay, the bow on it, that we are no longer after. Because you know and I know, it don't matter how saved you are, it is so easy to get fleshly and carnal in the holiday season. All you want to do is sit around a fire, eat turkey, eat pudding, eat gumbo, praise God, hallelujah. I have eaten more since Friday than I've eaten in a month. I come to South Louisiana, and all I want to do, because I love everything about Texas, but they still haven't quite discovered Tony's in everything. I like Tony's in everything. I want Tony's on my corn. I want Tony's on my potato. I want Tony's in my macaroni and cheese. I just like spice. I come down here and lose my mind. Stephanie said, are you behaving? I just said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. She knew I wasn't behaving. Just want to give the Lord praise. But it's so possible that we get so caught up in the presence that we no longer crave the presence. And I have seen great churches and great ministries, and even my personal life, I have gotten off track from a destination during the holidays, because it's almost like we put the presence on hold, we put kingdom on hold, and we begin to focus on everything except pursuing the presence of God. Is there anybody here at this beginning season that's craving that his kingdom would come? Would you clap your hands and give God praise? So just I want you to ask yourself, how would it change your life if you believed in the Emmanuel factor? If you believed that Jesus had come now, if you believed that heaven was touching earth now, it has for 2,000 years. If you really believed that God was with you right now. Now, I understand when I say God, everybody has a different version of God. I'm learning that in Austin now. We're learning that only about 8% of Austinites think that they are even literally Christians, because we have about 30% that think they're Christian. But when you say Christian, you mean cultural Christian. Some of them think, you know, God may be a woman, maybe three women. God may be a dragon. God may be, I don't know, it's just crazy. We have Buddhists, we have Islamic, we have a whole row. I hope they're there today. We have a whole row. I don't even know how they sit together. They don't even know each other. We got to laughing last week. We have an entire row of atheists that are coming to church. They've told everybody. It's like three different families, and they don't know each other, and they all told us they're atheists, and they're on the same row. We're calling that the Holy Ghost row, because one of these Sundays, it's just going to be like lightning's going to go. But everybody has a God. We were in Calcutta years ago, and Stephanie and I were trying to start some churches. We went for 6 months and got chased by the secret police and all this kind of crazy stuff. Alex was only 3 years old. He was this blonde-headed, blue-eyed. He was so cute when he was little. I don't know what happened. He was just this cute little three-year-old. He'd walk around sucking his thumb. They loved him. The Indians, they literally treated him like a god, because he was the only blonde-headed, blue-eyed thing anywhere around. So one day we missed him. We lived in a home. We rented a bedroom. We actually rented a bedroom and one of the funniest stories, please don't tell her I told you this, one of the funniest stories I have about Stephanie is when she got so desperate to take a bath that she took a bath in a bucket of hot water, because she hadn't had a bath in like 4 months, and got stuck in the bucket. It's one of the funniest stories that I have. Literally got stuck in a bucket of hot water, because how many of you women have not had a hot shower or a hot bath for 4 months? After 4 months, she wanted hot water on her body. So she didn't tell me, and she got down in a bucket, but then could not get out. And Alex and I have to throw the bucket on the side and pop her out of the bucket. We're all soaking. Soap is everywhere. And then when we get the bucket, I can't lift my legs up like she had them. But she's got her, and we can't even get, she can't move. She's froze like that. And we have to start pulling her legs out. And Alex is like, Mama looks like a chicken. And so we were real missionaries. It was crazy. And so we lived in this home, and we lived in a Hindu family's home. 13 Hindus and 3 Christians. It was wonderful. 13 Hindu family. And they had dogs. They didn't have air conditioning. Just imagine Calcutta, India, no air conditioning, 13 adults, 10 long-haired dogs that had never been washed ever. Curry. If you walked on the floor barefooted, you got worms in your feet. Just wonderful. So anyway, it's in that environment, the family we lived with, they worshiped the god that looked like the monkey. I forget the name now, but it's the Hindu god, looks like a monkey. It's evidently very powerful, because they pray to it all the time. Nothing happened, but it's evidently very powerful. And so they had the monkey god, and they would not let their servants worship their gods, because even though they're all Hindu, they have over 1 million gods. And if you don't worship the same god, then they don't believe your prayer. It's almost like Christians. If you don't go to our denomination, then we don't even think you're saved. So they've got 1 million gods, but it's all different gods. So they come in, they have the monkey god, but yet Mr. Mighty, who is the houseboy or the butler, whatever you want to call him, Mr. Mighty worshiped another god, and he wasn't allowed to worship when they were there. But when they were out of town on a trip or they were gone, then he would open up a little, what we call a pandal, which was a little temple, and he would open it up, and he would sit there, and he would worship, and he would play these little cymbals. He had these little cymbals you put on your hand like that, almost like a mariachi band type thing, like that. He would have these little cymbals. He would sit cross-legged. He would open his little box up with his little god, light the candles, and he sang. He almost sounded more Pentecostal. He may have went to Bethel. I don't know, because he just kind of would do that kind of ting. And so he would do his little thing sitting there. It was really wonderful. All he needed was a violin. He'd fit right in. And so One day we miss Alex. We miss Alex. And we're like, where's Alex? And we go out, and Alexander is sitting in the lap of Mr. Mighty while he is worshiping his God. But Alex does not know a dead God. He's only 3 years old. All he knows is Jesus. So while Mr. Mighty is sitting there going, hey, and beating the little cymbals and stuff, Alex is sitting right there in his lap with his hands up going, hallelujah, Jesus, clapping his hands, hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, repent, be baptized, go to hell. That's what he used to love to say. He'd say, repent, baptize, go to hell. I don't know where he got that from. And then Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. And finally, Mr. Mighty come to us, and he said, would you please keep Alex in here a few minutes, because he's so busy worshiping Jesus that I can't focus on worshiping my God. No, 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 you didn't get my sermon. Are you ready for heaven invading earth? What if we would get right in the lap of every spirit and every hurting person and every philosophy and every drug addict, every prostitute, every depressed, broken individual in this region, get right up in the lap of where they are and begin to discover the kingdom. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. I give you praise. I worship you. And they couldn't focus on their depression because you're so happy. They couldn't focus on their addiction because of your peace. They couldn't focus upon their anger because of your joy. They couldn't focus upon their poverty because you're too busy giving them what they need, because you have brought the kingdom to earth. Hallelujah. You ought to just clap your hands and say, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's why I love this concept of the Emmanuel factor. And that's what Isaiah said 700 years before in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. I love this. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call him Emmanuel. Matthew comes back 700 years later. Matthew begins to write it. He is not writing it out of revelation. He is writing it out of historical interpretation. God didn't have to tell Matthew what to write. He was a Jew. He just went back to Old Testament scriptures and pulled out, okay, the reality is based upon a revelation. Look at somebody and say, if you want heaven to come to earth, you need to push into reality what has already been revealed to you by revelation. Hallelujah. Did anybody get that? Did you get that? What is it that God has put in your spirit by revelation that you need to push into reality? This has been spoken over my life. I'm a millionaire. I'm about to push it out. I'm blessed. I'm about to push it out. Over a year ago now, your pastor standing at the airport, he looked at me and he just looked me dead in the eye and said, so when are you going to start a church? And you're supposed to help birth it apostolically, but Alex is supposed to be the pastor. And he's standing on the corner at the airport in New Orleans. He prophesied things to me that I did not want to hear, because my spirit was so frustrated with the impossible that I had no idea. And all he was doing was confirming what God had already put in my spirit several years ago, but I was wrapped up in the impossible. And sometimes you need a prophetic word to push your impossible into the realm of reality and to push you into now. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I'm living right now, birthing a word from the Lord that has been in our spirit for years. I don't know what God has spoken to you, but if he ever said you were going to be healed, if he ever said your family was coming together, if he ever gave you a promise that souls were going to be saved, if you have a promise, I want you to raise your hands right now and say, I believe that the kingdom has come and has become my reality in my life. Does that make sense to anybody? Am I boring you? Or are you with me? So let's talk about this promise in Isaiah. Let's talk about this that I read to you earlier in our text. For unto us a child is born. Number one, he shall be called wonderful. Now just stay with me. I'm going to be quick, but I pray to impart something. He shall be called wonderful because he'll take care of the dullness of life. There are people in this. No, you didn't hear me. There are people in this room right now. You need the wonder to be returned to your life. Many of you may not have ever received the wonder of true Christianity. The wonder of not church, not ritual, not religion, not rules, not music, but the awe of God.
to be wowed by the presence of God, to be wowed by the goodness of God. I go way back. When I come here, all the young people make fun of me because my type worship music is so opposite of what most people do now. They come in the other day, even our new people that don't know anything, they come in and they just kind of backed out because I had on like 1970s praise worship, you know, gospel and all that kind of stuff. And there was an old song we used to sing that said, "He's a wonder in my soul. He's a wonder in my soul. He's a wonder." I'm not going to sing it all, but I want to. "In my soul, bless his name." And if I had some old mothers here with hats on, they'd start going, "He's a wonder. Hey, wonder." But have you lost your wonder? Have you lost the wonder of his presence? His name shall be called Wonderful. I crave in this season, I prayed it this morning, somewhere in these services today, "Lord, I want to experience the wonder. I want to experience the awe that I can't figure you out." If your religion can be planned and programmed to the point to where God never surprises you, we're not in the same business and it's not the same religion. I believe we plan, God laughs. At any moment, the Holy Spirit could take this service over. At any song, at any moment, there would be an activation of the gospel of the kingdom. He's a wonder. His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. Why counselor? Because he takes care of the multiple dimensions of life. Is there anyone here that has ever need help when you were depressed? Is there anyone here that's ever had trouble with decisions? I wrote this down last night. Is there anyone here that needs clarity, direction, or encouragement? Then you need him to become your counselor. As a pastor, once again, and your pastor's been here for many years, what would happen if people would go to the counselor instead of coming and saying, "Hey, I need to talk to somebody"? Because you really don't need me, you need him. He's a very present help in time of trouble. And when the kingdom comes, there is wonder. There is answer to the dilemmas of life and the platitudes of life. He is a wonder in that he is my counselor. But not only is he my counselor, he is the mighty God. And I wonder in this room today, does anybody need the mighty God? Because there is a difference between coming to church and being a cultural Christian and believing that you serve a mighty God. Because you can believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, but do you believe the blood still has power today to save and to heal and to deliver? He is not just a fictitious or historical deity. He is the mighty God. He is the might. No, somebody, when heaven comes to earth, say, "His kingdom come." You need him to be the might. I don't need him to be Mr. Mighty's God. I need him to be the mighty God. Is there anyone here that needs the mighty God in your life right now? Only the mighty God can serve the obstacles that are in front of you. Only the mighty God can move in healing. Do I have any parents that have rebellious children? Don't raise your hand. Please don't raise your hand. Do I have any wives that need God to move in your marriage? Don't raise your hand. Do I have any husbands that just need a Holy Ghost touch in your family? Don't raise your hand. Do I have anybody that needs money? You've got more month than you've got money, and you need God to make a way where there seemeth to be no way. Just raise your hands right now. Father, we activate, we awaken ourselves to the revelation that you are the mighty God, that you are here in might and authority and power and dominion. Hallelujah. You are the mighty God. Not only is he mighty God, but he is everlasting Father. I wrote this down last night, and I don't know if it's true, but I wrote it down at the hotel. Understanding the Father heart of God is the foundation of understanding one's identity as a son of God. How can we walk in the authority of sons of God if we don't understand the Father heart of God? Because the Father heart of God is represented with the prodigal son and the father. Love covers even if it doesn't condone. Perfect love casts out fear. Love covers a multitude of sins. I wonder what would happen to our church and our nation in this region in the midst of everything going on. I got up and read a newspaper heading today. There was so much division, and yet Paul wrote, God has given us this ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. I wonder what would happen if we really understood the Father heart of God and that He loves everybody. For God so loved the world, He gave. And in this Christmas season of talking about giving, why don't we talk about what it would take for a father to send his only begotten son? Why don't we get back to understanding the Father heart of God? I have a news flash for you. I don't care how you were raised, who beat you, who abandoned you, who lied on you, who treated you bad. God is your Father and He's not mad at you. He's not mad. He's not weak and He's not broke. So hallelujah to God. My dad used to say, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the taters under them their heels. Now, he was country. That's Arkansas coming out there. He owns the cattle and the taters. Praise the Lord. He is called the Prince of Peace because he takes care of the disturbances of life. When his kingdom comes, he comes as Father. He comes as Counselor. He comes as Prince. He comes in power, but He comes in peace. So does anybody believe, I know you believe it at the Harbor, that we are citizens of another kingdom? Yeah. Therefore, the purpose of His coming to earth was to take us back into the wholeness He originally intended when we were created. The big deal is that Jesus came. And He is the only salvation from sin. Here's what Matthew wrote. This is what I love about Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son. They shall call His name Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sins. The kingdom has come. The kingdom is in this room. But more than that, the kingdom is in you. I'll say that again. More than that, the kingdom is in you. So maybe we need to quit praying for a new awakening and just wake up. Maybe you just need to grab the reality of who is working in you right now, in this room right now. As musicians just come softly, I want you to sit there. And I just, what I felt today to pray in this service, and please don't forget tomorrow night, we'll be praying for the sick. I feel some things tomorrow night. It won't be just normal. It'll be like a service. So everybody needs to be here. It always gets weird and crazy, and God's going to be glorified. It's going to be great. I want you to be here. But if you can't be here, or even if you're here today and you can't wait, there's about to be a tangible expression of the kingdom manifesting in this room right now. So if you're in this room and you need the mighty God to show up in might, you need the Counselor to begin to clarify your mind and mend your heart. You need peace to calm the raging, fearful, intimidating. This time of year, there is so much depression and isolation from loneliness. There is so much suffocating debt because even if we can't afford it, we'll max out our credit cards to give kids something that they'd rather have the box. Did you catch it? But we have so much pressure to perform, and so the anxiety of daily life and the fear of daily life, even though Scripture from kingdom people commands us to be anxious for nothing, we get so caught up in the busyness of life. Am I talking to anybody? So is there anyone here that needs the kingdom to come today in power? You need Him to be mighty. You need Him to be peace. You need Him to be Counselor. You need Him to be Father. Or you may just want to find your wonder. I would love when the people start coming in for the second service for you guys to be so full of wonder that they see your face glowing. I can't afford to do it every year. I'm not smart enough to do it. But there's been a few times in my life where I've bought either Stephanie or my kids. There's been a few times when I found out exactly what they wanted and had it wrapped or hid in such a way. Like Stephanie's engagement ring, Alex is going through a bunch of stuff right now, trying to, this season in his life. So I've been thinking about my season in my life 30 years ago. And I couldn't afford to buy a ring, an engagement ring. But I was traveling preaching, and everybody, all these people love me. And here's the thing, I preached in churches
that were mostly elderly people. And I was 19, 20, traveling, preaching. So these older people, they loved me. They thought it was so cute, this young preacher. I'd get up and kick and scream and preach and do everything I knew to do. So these little ladies got together in the church and said, Jonathan, what if we would give you diamonds and chips and our wedding rings, many of the widows, and you could melt down the gold? And so they started taking up little offerings with their friends and whatever, giving me their jewelry to melt down and to make an engagement ring for Stephanie. So Stephanie's engagement ring is about 10 or 12 different ladies' rings and 12 diamond chips, little chips they're putting in the setting with a pearl. The pearl's the only thing that I could afford to buy. It wasn't that expensive, the pearl and the chips. And so I get it. I propose. I don't have a ring or whatever. So it's weeks later, and I've been having this made. So we're out in the parking lot, and she's helping me clean my car. We're just out there, you know, doing nothing. And I have it hid just kind of down. She's trash, taking trash. I'm an evangelist. It's dirty. There's McDonald's French fries everywhere. So I'm doing my thing. And all of a sudden, she picks this thing up. I said, be careful. That may be something valuable. Open it up. And when she opened it up, I had told her. She knew the story. She had already said yes before she had a ring. That's how I roll. So she knew we were having it made. She knew the story. She knew some of the little ladies. And when she saw that ring, to look on her face, I wish I could. I don't think I can afford to get that look because what it would take to do something bigger than that now. But that look of just wonder, elation, makes me want to cry. Just that look of sheer shock of joy and wonder. I just preached to you about Jesus coming to earth in the form of a Savior, which is the greatest gift we could ever receive. What would happen if that kind of wonder would get a hold of us just for a moment? Would you stand with me right now? And as you stand, oh yeah, we got time. I just want you to raise your hands right now. Raise your hands in this presence. And allow the wonder of the gift, the wonder of the kingdom, to begin to settle down and just saturate you in this room right now. And as the worship team begins to come, I just want you to, as you embrace the wonder, I want you to ask yourself, I can't tell you, but I want you to ask yourself, how do you need the kingdom to manifest to you today? Do you need the kingdom in power, the kingdom in might, the kingdom in peace, the kingdom in wonder, the kingdom as a counselor, or the kingdom as Father? Because in each of these things that Isaiah prophesied, they meet a particular need in the lives of individuals at different points in their life. So I want you to pray that with me. Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in me as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in me. What I love about the Holy Spirit, what I love about the ministering of the Father, is he understands what you need more than you do. So you may need wonder today and not even know it. You may need counselor today and not even know it. You may need Father today and not even know it. So as your hands are raised right now, I want you just to grasp and receive what the Spirit needs to be to you. Not anybody else, but to you. Depressed one, you need peace. Angry one, you need a counselor. Lonely one, you need a father. Afflicted one, you need the mighty God. Jaded one, you need wonder. Thank you, Jesus.